Good morning to all of you. Welcome to another lesson in the series, Living Faith. One of the issues facing mankind is staying healthy. This has become a major crisis or challenge, really, for developed as well as developing countries. Unknown to many, in the pages of the Holy Bible are recordings from our Heavenly Father of His promise to heal us when we are sick. Many look to the government or just other individuals or practitioners of that certain discipline for guidance in this area instead of Jehovah Rapha, our main physician. In previous lessons, we learned that God has opened up a kind of spiritual bank account in our name, in other words, on our behalf, and He has deposited in it the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In fact, to use a modern term, there's a certificate of deposit declaring that He is our shepherd with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto. He also has a covenant of provision for us. In this lesson, we learn that Jesus is our Jehovah Rapha, our physician, and that simply means that healing is available. Everything that God has provided for us is in the form of a promise, and we receive these promises by faith in Jesus Christ. Again, my purpose is to inform you that divine healing is available. I'd like to turn to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, where we see this first mention, so you and I may get a clearer understanding of what is going on and what God has provided for us. In Exodus 15, verse 26, it says, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." Elsewhere it says, "I am your physician." Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. It simply means God has made a promise to the Israelites that He will heal them, and He will, if they were obedient to His instructions and do as He has commanded them. And so that is first mentioned. Now you'll read in Psalms, I think, let's see, 107, verse 20, no, I'm sorry, Psalm 105, verse 37. Let's look at that more carefully. I'm sorry. In Psalm 105, verse 37, He says, He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there is not one feeble person among their tribes. God, Jehovah, Rapha, has brought them forth from Egypt into the promised land, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 105, verse 7. But I'd like to establish some facts. So first we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I want us to understand that divine healing has been promised under the new covenant, under the new modern system, in our covenant that you and I are existing, are living under, we should say, that God is making it clear that He has provided for us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Notice that. Past tense. You were healed. The same is, actually, this was taken from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. In the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, this was recorded first there, and it was in the form of a prophecy, and now we see where it is past tense. So in chapter 53, verse 5, this is what it says. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes we are healed. And here, healing is declared and is promised. And so you and I then have a clear understanding of what God is doing. So whenever we come to God for healing, we have the assurance that this is provided for by Jesus going to Calvary, taking the lashing, and dying on the cross. There is no divine healing without this promise. It is faith in this fact that gives us the right to come to the throne of grace and request healing. One cannot have faith for healing without first knowing that this promise or provision is available. That is one of the reasons why this lesson is being taught. We have this assurance, ladies and gentlemen, since God's word is good, that he will do exactly as he promises. Now let's look at Numbers chapter 21. Verse 8. In the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 21 and verse 8. There is some information I'd like to share with you regarding this fact. Because it's recorded, the Lord said unto Moses, make you a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looked upon it, shall live. Verse 9 says, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Did you see that? They lived if they looked upon that serpent, which is a type of Jesus Christ, as we shall see. The fact is that the Israelites were misbehaving, and so serpents went among them, bit them, and they were dying. But the Lord made a provision here, and so they were supposed to look upon the serpent, the brass serpent, and then they would live. Let's take it a step further. In Psalm 107, in the book of Psalms, this book of Psalms is filled with instructions that sometimes you may miss if you don't pay close attention to what is being stated. In Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Here it is again. They were in trouble. They needed assistance. And he sent his word and healed them. Now, what you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that God does these by his word. You believe in his word, and that is the faith that is required to receive from the Lord. Let's take it a step further. In Matthew, the ninth chapter, Matthew chapter 9, that's in the New Covenant, under the New Covenant, or New Testament, really, and of course, New Covenant also. But in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29, we read, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. Now, what has transpired? It says a story, when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, and what did he say? According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and he straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know this. This is verse 30. Now the point is that he touched their eyes after they admitted that he's able to do it. They were expressing their faith, and so they got healed. In Matthew chapter 8, there is another story of a centurion who's asking for assistance from Jesus. Verse 5 says, Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9, for I am a man under authority, I have soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and he does do this, and he does it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Continue verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of kingdom shall be cast out unto the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's the problem? They were not exercising faith. But this centurion, back to the point, this centurion just said, speak the word. And that's what Jesus did. And of course, the story continues. Verse 13, he says, go thy way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in that same hour. That's verse 13, Matthew chapter 8. He just spoke the word, and it was done. Point again, ladies and gentlemen, is the word that makes the difference. And your belief in that also. In Hebrews, the first chapter, we read a series of things, that attributes that has been given to Jesus. And I'd like for us to look, zero in on verse 3 and a part of that first clause. It's speaking of Jesus, and it says, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, you may say, the power of his word. He had himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He uphold all things by his word, or the power of his word. Again, back to the book of Matthew, let's look at chapter 8. And, of course, verse 16. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 says, when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Did you notice that? He cast out the spirits with his word, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and bear our sicknesses. Again, ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the word that is actually taking place. In Psalm 107, I think I may have read that earlier, it says, he sent his word and healed him. Psalm 107, verse 20. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, and verse 29, he touched their eyes, and he said, according to your faith, be unto you. That's exactly what he did to the two blind men. And just departed, and he says, to the two blind men who came, and he just touched their eyes because they expressed faith. And so we summarize, here it is. The word is being spoken. And of course, the power from the word gets the job done. Point being, ladies and gentlemen, the word of God always has power. The word of God always has power. In fact, there is no word of God without power. So first point is that healing has been provided for, and we see how under the old covenant, it was given to the Israelites under the contract that God, covenant that God had with them. Well, it's really a contract. And of course, under the new covenant, that we now express in faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ shall live thereunto and receive the right and privileges thereto. And of course, healing is one of the provision. My second point, ladies and gentlemen, is that healing is available for all who ask in faith. When we come to God, one has this assurance that God, our shepherd, hears us and is willing to heal his sheep. The Israelites were given the method of healing, as we have seen, and there was not one feeble person among them. How much more we who live under a better covenant? Notice Luke chapter 4, verse 40. In Luke chapter 4, verse 40, I'd like for us to look, pay close attention to some instructions here. Or it's actually recording. Now when the sun was set, this is chapter 4, verse 40, the book of Luke. Now when the sun was set, all they that had any sick with different diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Notice that. He laid his hands on every one that were brought to him. Doesn't matter who they were, he brought them unto him and he healed them. Obviously, there is some expression of faith here, otherwise they would not have come to him in the first place. So they brought him every one that was sick and he healed them. In Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, verse 30, there is another recording for us to look at, Chapter 15, verse 30 says, And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and they cast them down at Jesus's feet, and he healed them. Let's say that again. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus's feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. They glorified the God of Israel. Healing is available, ladies and gentlemen, for all who ask in faith. Now let's look at Mark chapter 11, verse 24. The book of Mark, Matthew Mark, chapter 11, and verse 24. Jesus is speaking, and he says, whatsoever you ask, okay, let's turn to it quickly. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, you desire certain things, believe that you receive them. When? Before you receive, when you are asking for them. And you shall have them. Let's read the old verse again. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So here, ladies and gentlemen, God is making it clear that he has provided for us, and it's going to be through faith. And so if we ask in faith, we will receive them. Now, let's look at an example of where this was done. In the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 20, it doesn't describe the prayer that takes place before. However, it describes the circumstances, and you see what the summary is that Jesus has given us. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. In another expression, they say that just came and touched him. For she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. Notice what she did. She said, if I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. She was expressing or declaring her faith before the manifestation takes place. Verse 22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made you whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Her faith And the fact that she's able to touch Jesus, you and I can do so today. How do we do it? By believing on his promises. This is what the lady had done. She made the declaration before, knowing full well that if she touch him, she shall be made whole. We know that if we believe the promises of God, then we shall be made whole likewise. All right? In 1 John chapter 5, I'd like for us to look at it because Jesus being our shepherd, the good shepherd, he's going to provide for us. And so in 1 John chapter 5, there is a record I'd like to bring to your attention again and bring to your focus. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Do we have confidence in him when we come? We should. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Did you notice that? If we ask according to his will, we just expressed clearly earlier what his will is, that he wants us to be healed. And so if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Verse 15 again. And if we know that he hears us, notice the logic. We know that he hears us, therefore, whatsoever we ask, since he is compassionate, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. And notice, again, it is according to his will. Therefore, he is willing to do it. Let's take it a step further. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter and verse 22, it points out that God is Jesus is the guarantor of a better promise. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 says, by how much was Jesus made a surety, it says in the King James, or guarantor in another version, of a better testament. Jesus as guarantor of a better testament. Let's pick it up in verse 21 and get more clarity. The priests that offered sacrifices in the past, ladies and gentlemen, they just went and do these things traditionally, according to the instruction that was given to them by Moses for the Levitical priesthood. And so in verse 21 it says, for those priests were made without a oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God has declared that Jesus Christ is going to be a priest forever with the rank of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a guarantor or a surety of a better testament, which is comparing now Old Testament with New Testament. So Jesus was a guarantor of a better testament. So we read then in chapter 8, verse 6, that, but now had he obtained, as Jesus obtained, a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator for better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Ladies and gentlemen, as we shall see, it is even easier to receive from God now than the Israelites did and those who lived during the time when Jesus walked the earth. But let's take it further and just stick with my notes. When Jesus walked the earth, ladies and gentlemen, they had to look for a man named Jesus. If they couldn't find him, they wouldn't be able to touch him. And unless the disciples, when he delegated his power to some, you could receive healing. But by and large, it was not available. Now, you and I can come to the throne of grace wherever you are, in London, England, or in Peking, China, or Beijing, China, I guess is the modern name, or in Washington, D.C., or in Kingston, Jamaica, wherever you are, and everyone can call up him at the same time, and you all can receive healing. How much easier it is, ladies and gentlemen, you stop and think about it. Look at John chapter 16. In the book of John, you want proof? Let's look at the book of John chapter 16. Because Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and he made a statement that caused them to start to express their dismay. And so verse 6, chapter 16, verse 6 says, But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. He was explaining that he's going away, and they became sorrowful. But verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you that it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Point being, ladies and gentlemen, it is better for Jesus to go so we can have greater access now through the Comforter and because of what God is doing from heaven. It's a lot easier to receive. We can receive so much more because Jesus went away. In the book of James, chapter 1, there is a point I would like to bring to your attention so we do not miss out on what has been promised. Because in verse 6, it says, let him ask in faith. If anybody you ask, in this case, the theme was wisdom, but whatever you're asking for in faith, do not waver. For he that wavered is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Those that waver will not receive anything of the Lord. So, point here is that we must believe what he has promised, and then hold fast to that profession. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That is one of the reasons why some will not receive. They are constantly trying to second-guess whether or not God can provide what he has promised. There's a third point I'd like to bring to our attention, ladies and gentlemen, when we're seeking divine healing. To receive divine healing, one must give thanks for that gift before there is any manifestation. If we're going to receive by faith, then we should express our appreciation for the promise and believe that the word is good. We must express our confidence that this has been imparted to us, since the God who cannot lie has made his healing available. And it is that moment, ladies and gentlemen, is working out things, on all things, out on your behalf. God, who is plenteous in mercy, will work mightily in you and will not stop until his word accomplishes purpose. The words of God is the word that he has spoken, they are spirit. And they, because the flesh profits nothing. So it's their spirit and their life. We read that in John chapter 6, verse 63. So, for example, a man at Lystra, we want to look at an example here in book of Acts, chapter 14. I want us to look at an example of what was transpiring. I want us to look at the timeline and everything that took place so it becomes clearer to you how God intends to do it. In book of Acts, chapter 8, 14, Paul is speaking, he's preaching, he says in verse 7, and they preach the gospel. Verse 8, and he says, there sat a certain man at Lystra, a little town called Lystra, impotent in his feet, because being a cripple from his mother's womb, and he has never walked. That same man heard Paul speak, didn't get healed yet. He's just hearing him speak. The same man heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Paul perceived that this gentleman has faith to be healed. And so verse 7, then Paul said with a loud voice, stand upon your feet. And he leaped and walked. Who leaped and walked? The man who was lame from his mother's womb. He has never walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in this speech of Lyconia, The gods are come down unto us in the likeness of men. They misunderstand what was taking place, and they're trying to attribute godhood to Paul. That's not, of course, Paul explained to them, no, don't do it. This is incorrect. My point being, though, this gentleman had faith. He listened to what Paul was saying and believed it, started demonstrating his faith, how he was, what he was saying. I don't know all what is recorded here, but the point that the Bible says, concludes, he had faith to be healed. And so he was healed after Paul called him and asked for him to stand up. And what did he do? He got up when Paul said it. And of course, at that point, he was demonstrating faith, and so he was healed. Notice again, the lady who reached and touched Jesus' garment, she was healed. She not only had faith, because she said she thought she had to make her way through the crowd to touch Jesus. It wouldn't happen. She declared her point before she got there, and she said, if I could only go and touch his garment, I will be made whole. That's what she did. And then here she comes. She pushed her way through the crowd, touched him, and got healed. Abraham believed in like manner. In the book of Romans, chapter 4, Abraham, who was well past childbearing age, his wife was the same, in similar situation. Both of them were well past age, and God made him a promise that he's going to have a son. In the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 20, it says, that's the book of Acts. The book of Romans, chapter 4, here it is. Verse 20 says, and he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Another recording says, he waxed strong in faith. He held on to what God said and started to give glory to God. Notice it, because it's easy to miss it. He staggered not at the promise of God by expressing unbelief, but he was strong in faith, or walked strong in faith, and then he gave glory, giving glory to God, it says in the last clause. And being fully persuaded that what he, Jesus, had promised, he was able to perform. What has he promised you? In this case, we're focused on divine healing. He has promised that he's able to perform it. And so what do? You start to express your confidence in him before the manifestation takes place. If you're waiting for the manifestation, well, one, it might never happen. But secondly, that would not be faith, because you must express confidence before it takes place for that to be faith. In Genesis chapter 6, I want us to look at a man who expressed faith and performed as it says. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 12, God spoke unto, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, make you an ark of gopher wood. Simple instruction, make an ark of gopher wood. You shall put rooms in it, and pitch it within and without with pitch. The cracks that were there should be filled in with pitch. Don't leave these out, otherwise the ark will not float. Look at verse 22. Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So did he. At that time, ladies and gentlemen, they had not had rain on the earth. But he believed that God's word is good. So he's demonstrating faith. And he built the ark. That's one. Secondly, he made the rooms. Thirdly, he pitched it so that the cracks will fill up. And of course, the water will not be able to get in. And of course, you can read the rest of the story, chapter 7, the book of Genesis. What happened? Well, flood came, drowned everybody else, and all, even the animals also. I'd like to point out at this point, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a difference between healing and miracle. The miracle is a suspension of natural laws, while healing is a gradual reversal to what is correct. Like Abraham, we must hold on to the confidence that we have in Jesus until the manifestation occurs. The blind men who came to Jesus, as we saw earlier, they did not shut up when people told them to. In Matthew chapter 20, it's recorded. Matthew chapter 20, here is it. Blind man is asking for help. He needed assistance. And he cried out in Matthew chapter 20, while I turn there. And let's see, verse 31. The two blind men, verse 30, sitting by the wayside, they heard that Jesus passed by, and they cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Verse 31, and multitudes rebuked them. The multitudes rebuked them. What all did they say? It doesn't here, but let's see. Because they shouted, he says, "Hold your peace." But they cried out even more, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Verse 32, and Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will you that I shall do unto you?" But the point here again, ladies and gentlemen, is that, let's see, that's 20. They expressed their confidence before, and of course the point is that they did not remain silent, and the Lord and he said they would like for them to open their eyes in verse 33 and verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and healed them. We then, ladies and gentlemen, are to hold on to our confidence once God has given it to us. It doesn't have to happen immediately, but my point is that you have to hold on to the confidence of the promise that God has given you. And so there was two blind men, they would not let go, even though the people were trying to tell them to be quiet. They shouted even more. They needed healing. Sometimes you have to shout past the devil and his pedos who work on his behalf. And so point is again, you may not just receive the healing immediately. Therefore, what do? You express your confidence and you continue to hold fast to what God has promised. Verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 10 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward." The recompense in this case is healing. Do not cast it away, but hold on to your confidence. For if you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Point it again is that it may take some time. It doesn't have to be miraculous. Healing is generally slower, and the miraculous is an acceleration of the laws. And so you find then that healing sometimes causes others to become impatient, but you then are supposed to hold fast the confidence. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5, it's recorded that it was after 3 days that King Hezekiah gained strength to be able to go up to the temple, even though the prophet had given him the word that you will be healed and your time is going to be turned back, where God is going to extend your life 15 years. But it was 3 days before he started to get the manifestation, or at least visible manifestation, where he was strong enough to go up to the house of the Lord or up to the temple. So the healing may not be instant, but it is forthcoming. Another point, ladies and gentlemen, when we're requesting divine healing is to receive healing. We should never get cast away our confidence in the Word of God. Since God cannot lie, some may not have received. But that's not any basis for us to place our promise and to cast away our confidence because others did not receive. We cannot put all the confidence in another person's failure. We don't know all the circumstances around that situation. Like David, we should express our belief that no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Notice in Psalms 84, verse 11. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So we do not cast away our confidence because others may not have been successful in their particular endeavor. But in Psalm 34, verse 11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Obviously, when you're coming to God, you're one of those who are trying to express faith and live by faith. So you will be walking uprightly and you will receive from the Lord, because no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. We should continue to believe, like the Apostle Paul, that all the promises are yes and amen. So God has given us a promise. It's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at it quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. What does it say? "For all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." He has established that all his promises. Why would he even make a promise then if he's not going to keep them? It doesn't make any sense. And so all of these promises, ladies and gentlemen, are for us, and we can receive them based on what he is working out with you at that point in time. And of course, healing is one of the things that he has provided for all, and we can receive. We should come with that understanding rather than expressing faith in the failure of others in the past. Yes, some people have failed for many, many reasons. We can't tell all of those. But the point is that we should not put ourselves in that category, because God's word is good. We should saturate our mind with the promises of God pertaining to the circumstance until we receive from the Lord. And we should be able to quote to the devil, "It is written." You notice the way Jesus expressed it? "It is written." Can you make these stones into bread? "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God," for example. And so Jesus used that those words, "It is written." You should study the promises and saturate your mind till you can, you like Jesus, say, "It is written." In Jonah's case, in chapter 2, verse 8, when he was in the belly of the fish, he was expressing his confidence in God and declaring that the delay of the reception of the healing that he would need at this time, he need to be set free. What did he say? Did he blame God? No. Did he try to say it's not working? No. What did he say? He said, "These are lying vanities." You can read that in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. "Therefore, we will not delay, but be vigilant with the word, and we allow the word to work in us vigorously." In Proverbs, the fourth chapter, I want to bring your attention to another aspect that you and I need to be mindful of when we are trying to receive healing from God. Look at what it says in chapter 4, verse 20. "My son, attend to my words." Let's read it again. "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." This is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. So God then, who is always anxious to make sure his word come to pass, is allowing us and encouraging us here for us to seek him diligently and to apply it, and do not let them depart from our eyes, and we then shall receive. You know, one must be careful not to go contrary to the word when we are seeking divine intervention. We should be willing to work with God and oppose the works of the enemy. Do not allow the devil to talk doubt into your mind or others to express their unbelief. The word of God stands by itself, and the word of God is great. Therefore, you should then seek to do what is right. Stay even in the confines of what God has written, and you're on good ground. See, the word of God is filled with power and will outperform the work of the devil always. The word of God will outperform the work of the devil always. And the only way, ladies and gentlemen, you can lose is by going contrary to the word. So you cannot express doubts or, for example, if it is his will, when we have already established that that is his will. You should have that confidence. Do not allow the enemy of your soul to trick us into going contrary to God's divine purpose. But like Joshua, we must be diligent to perform what we know to be good. Notice Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 8. In the book of Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 8, God gave Joshua some sound advice. You and I may be wise to heed those same advice. What does he say? Start with verse 8. In fact, let's pick up on verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. In this case, your law means teachings, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it at the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wheresoever you go. Take it a step further. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wheresoever you go. And that promise, ladies and gentlemen, is true for us, as we shall see in detail in another lesson. So Paul admonishes us, ladies and gentlemen, to think on the things then. With this understanding, since we're not going to go do contrary to God's word, we want to think also on the things of God. It's not enough not to think on the evil. We must be thinking on the good things. In Philippians chapter 4, we want to think on the things that are positive, the things that are good. In Philippians, let's see, where are we? Chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, is there be any virtue in any of these things, he's saying. If there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have heard, both learned and received and heard, and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We will stick to the things that God has promised, ladies and gentlemen, and think on the things that are positive, not the things that are negative, not the things that are going to try to carry down or to build doubts. But you think, reflect on the things of God, and you shall receive. Now, Paul was just given a finality there, so we'll come to the finality in this presentation. Finally, brethren, we must be zealous for God's promises. If you intend to receive from God, then you ought to be zealous for our diligent, as it says elsewhere, for the things of God. God has given us exceedingly precious promises, and we are to be zealous for them. We seek them diligently, not occasionally, but diligently. They should be paramount then on our list. Should God heal us so we may abandon his cause? No. We are part of his teams. Part of his team. In James chapter 3, I want to go ahead and cement this with additional information here. In the book of James, Hebrew James, chapter 3, I want us to notice verse 3 says, behold, we put, chapter 4 rather. He says, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. In this particular case, what James is saying is, you're asking out of the wrong attitude. We cannot afford to do that. So finally, brethren, we're going to be zealous for the things of God. Let's pick it up quickly in verse 1. From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, or even of your lust, that you war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and you desire to have, and you do not obtain. You ask out of the wrong attitude, is what he's trying to say. And so verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is become an enemy of God. Point is, again, ladies and gentlemen, we must be zealous for the things of God and leave the things of the world. We are about the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us bless the Lord at all times. Psalms 34 says, his praises shall continually be in our mouth. I'll just turn to Psalm 34 quickly and touch on a few verses so that we help cement the understanding of the promises that God has given us and what he is in this moment doing in on to Jesus Christ in your life. Verse 1, Psalm 34. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If you're zealous for him, that's what will happen. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord in me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he healed me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord healed him and saved him out of all his troubles. You may put another expression. The sick person called, and God healed him. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivers them. So we must be zealous then for the things of God and bless the Lord at all times. We need to be diligent. We'll not turn there. Proverbs 12:24. Because it's the hand of the diligent that shall bear rule. So you and I must be diligent when it comes to the things of God. When we come to God for divine healing, we should be zealous for the victory through faith in Jesus Christ. God has provided healing for us, ladies and gentlemen. Like all these promises, we must exercise faith to receive them. When we come to God in faith, he is willing to do what he has promised. The God of his own volition gave himself that name, Jehovah Rapha, Exodus 15:26 again, saying that he is our physician or he is our healer. And we believe his word, therefore we will receive. We don't have to try to drag it out of him or try to squeeze it out of him. He has willingly stated that that's what he is willing to do. So, brethren, my conclusion then, healing is available.